Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, October 22nd, 2020. My name is Justin Coffin. This is the 330 Sports Show. I'm going to get right into it today. We have some guests that we did a couple Zoom calls last night. So, we have Mark Smaldino, Billy De Niro, and Greg Kirchner joining us with a Buckeye Roundtable. From that video, it's going to go into Steve Leslie breaking down this week's high school football playoffs. Steve is from YSN. And at the end, we'll go back to that roundtable and pick some NFL games this weekend. So take a look and feel free to write in on the comments.
Go off my screen. So Billy, why don't you go first?
You
tell us what you think of this upcoming season.
I just want to say one thing, that everything got a lot worse in this world after that fumble got called to an incomplete pass, if you think about it. Yeah. So I think we can just blame 2020 on that. But yeah, I'm really excited for see what the secondary can do this year. I mean, we lost Okuda, you lose Damon Arnett. So I think it'll be really interesting. We got Marcus Hooker in there. I think he'll be a good addition, and just to see what he'll do. I got Kerry Combs back as the defensive coordinator. I'm excited to see what the Silver Bullets are up to this year. Anything less than a national championship, I'll be disappointed.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair statement. Smalls, what do you got?
Yes, I think we're going to see a much more focused team. I think back to that Clemson game, something that always stuck out to me is I think if you ask Ryan Day if he could take back punting on 4th and 2 on the Clemson 40, 35, wherever that was, I think he'd like to have that play back. So I think we're going to see a really focused Ryan Day, really focused just team in general, as we saw as with those guys, Sean Wade and Wyatt Davis opting back in. I'll save the position breakdown for a little later on, but kind of echo what Bill said. It's time to win a title with the quarterback and the NFL talent that we have all around the field. It's championship or bust.
Absolutely. All right. And Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, it's gonna be very interesting. I mean, this team has been focused all offseason. I mean, you see the tweets, but you really feel it. Like, you really feel like this team, they never turn the switch off. And we've seen it in a lot of sports coming back from working through all this uncertainty, that it's the most focused and the most prepared team, and the team that's kind of most resilient and able to kind of go with the flow ends up being the successful team. So I just think I echo what these guys said. I mean, Ryan Day, it seems like he's got command of this team. And yeah, we'll go through the positions, but you know, looking through the roster, I'm having a really hard time coming up with a weakness on this team, and that's pretty cool. But at the end of the day, you still got to go out there and get it done. So you know, there's 8 games. There's zero margin for error. So you know, yeah, let's get at it and see what happens. But the tools are there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get right into the positions then. So obviously we know who's playing quarterback, and hopefully, you know, unless it's, 42-0 in the fourth quarter, or, you know, even worse than that, you know, Justin Fields is on the field every single play. So obviously he's an elite guy. I think Georgia wishes he was there right now, seeing their situation. I think they could have probably handled Bama with him under center, but you know, you got Justin Fields and I'm not even gonna get into Gunnar Hoke, but you got two other, you know, true freshmen. Yes. Right behind.
Yes. Us.
So I'll let you guys know a little bit more about them. So you know, we all know about Justin Fields. So if you guys want to talk a little bit about Justin Fields and then, you know, possibly the backups, go ahead. So
yeah, I'll take this one, Bill. Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. Last year we were we saw Justin Fields laying flat on his back against Penn State, and we saw Gunnar Hoke coming into the game. I mean, this year we got a little more depth, two true freshmen, two highly regarded freshmen, Jack Miller and CJ Stroud. CJ was a little bit of a late bloomer in recruiting process, started as a 3-star and finished as a 5-star at Rancho Cucamonga in California. I'm personally really excited with him. Everything I read on the Buckeye scoop from Mark Givler and Alex Gleitman, he could be the next Justin Fields. So you know, last year, every play you're kind of holding your breath. Obviously, you don't want to see Justin Fields, best quarterback in the country, go down, but I think we're in a lot better position now moving forward in third depth than we were last year.
Absolutely. Bill, you want to take it?
Yeah, like I said, I'm really excited for CJ too. I'm trying to wrap my head around, though, like, what can Justin Fields possibly do to get to that Heisman race, like, to win it? Because he's in the competition already. He's in the contention. But, like, people are so scripted, like, oh, Trevor Lawrence is, like, basically guaranteed to win it if he does what he needs to do. So I'm trying to think of ways that how Justin Fields can win the Heisman while Trevor Lawrence does what he does and gets the job done in Clemson. And I'm finding a tough time doing it.
Right, right. Yeah, because he's basically had a, you know, a month head start where you're getting all this pub and mm-hmm. and, you know, positive media. And he's sort of like the, you know, the I hate to say pretty boy, but especially with his hair, you know, he's got that going for him. And he's kind of like the media darling, and he gets a lot of the hype. But, yeah, hopefully Fields can get into that race. Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Clemson is going to probably have to lose a game for that to be – you know, for Fields to have a real shot. But I was just thinking, you know, eight games, I guess let's say nine, let's not count playoffs, nine games. How many total touchdowns do we think Justin Fields accounts for? 40? Can we say 40 in nine games? Can he get to 40?
At least. Yeah. The number I had in my head is 45, you know, five a game.
Wow.
Yeah.
45 in nine games. He's going to get some attention. He's going to get some serious attention. That would be unbelievable. Yeah.
Think about, though, that Clemson just scored 73 last weekend. So,
That's true.
I mean, Dabo seems to be got that in the back of his mind, too.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, it's going to be interesting. And so, well, hopefully we have these opportunities. I don't know if we'll have it for Penn State, but maybe Nebraska. Like, you know, is there going to be, because there's fewer games, are they just going to kind of let the, is Fields going to play into the fourth quarter? Or is it going to be, you know, that's going to be an interesting dynamic. You know, because you want to get everybody acclimated to gameplay, but you also don't want anybody hurt. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Hopefully that's a problem we'd like to have. So,
right. Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, even Fields would admit, you know, a national title is way more important than a Heisman Trophy. So, you know, you want to protect your guy. But at the same time, if you can pad his stats a little bit and find that happy medium, you know, maybe pull him on the, you know, two drives left in the game instead of pulling them the whole fourth. But hopefully we're in position to, you know, in each game to not have to worry about, you know, are we putting Fields in? Are we putting, you know, some of the argument I've heard with the backup quarterbacks, especially the freshmen, Stroud and Miller, is Ohio State, the coaching staff doesn't want to, like, piss either guy off either, too. You know, you don't want one guy, you know, you had the Burrow-Haskins situation before where, you know, Burrow ends up transferring. You don't want one of these guys to transfer and end up being the next Joe Burrow, possibly.
I think I think one of these guys is bound to transfer eventually.
Anyway, I agree.
NCAA just passed, or they're close to passing that one-time transfer rule. I mean, the writing was on the wall since the day they walked into the building. So I hear what you're saying. I mean, I personally think that. I mean, this is Ohio State football. This isn't
exactly.
This isn't Glenwood. Where you got to worry about feelings. So,
right.
I know I do hear what you're saying, and there is the fact that Gunnar Hoke's been around the program another year, but I mean, everything you read about C.J. Stroud and even Jack Miller's had his positive reviews. I mean, I think if it came down to it, and they needed to win a game, I think they'd make a decision there.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, let's move on to the running back position. You know, obviously. We've had J.K. Dobbins the last few years, and he's carried, you know, much of the workload. You know, we got Master Teague coming back. I believe he had some off-season surgery. But we also
– did he blow out his Achilles?
Yes.
And he came back in, like, 5 months?
Yeah.
Are we sure he's human?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
His name's Master Teague, so he can very well not be human.
Yeah, it's just like they talked about this Achilles injury. That's like a 10 to 12 month injury.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry to interject, but that's like that's like holy shit. How did this happen? Yeah.
A lot of times, like the Achilles is the new ACL, where ACL used to be like a death sentence. Now it's a, you know, 5-6 months. You're back on the field. You know, and now the Achilles is the new thing. So if he may, you know, like Billy said, his name's freaking Master Teague, man. Get him back on the field. So you got Master Teague, and you got Trey Sermon coming in from Oklahoma. I don't exactly know if it's going to be a 1-2 punch or if one guy's going to carry more of the load. What do you guys think on that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard too much either way on this. I'm interested in, I mean, obviously it's an embarrassment of riches. This could eat into Fields' touchdowns, but that's okay. I don't know. I mean, you got one guy, you got two guys coming back from injury, but you know, Sermon is well far off from injury. And didn't he had some kind of ridiculous yards per carry, I think 2 years ago with Oklahoma, it was like 8 yards per carry or something. So, I mean, we know what Master can do. I'm just excited to see what Trey Sermon looks like. I have a feeling that my hunch tells me he's going to be probably the one, and Teague might be the 1A, but I don't know. I don't know what you guys are hearing down there.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm kind of thinking the same way. Could be kind of a thunder and lightning situation here. They love, from what I've read, the early practice reports is Sermon looks really good cutting and, you know, downfield speed. I mean, I'm interested to see. I mean, like you said, coming back from an Achilles injury is not easy to do early on. I'm interested to see how they work him back into game shape and stuff. But I was really excited when they got Trey Sermon. And I will say they really like Steel Chambers and Mayan Williams too. I'm not expecting them to be major contributors this year, but I've heard a lot of good things. I mean, Mayan was a late flip from Iowa State, played high school ball down in Cincinnati. Not really a highly regarded guy, but they really like him too. And then they got another guy. I don't even know if he's healthy. Marcus Crowley down from Florida.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So they kind of they got five guys down there right now. So be interested to see what they do with the rotation. Tony Offord's been lucky with Dobbins for a little bit, so it's be a nice test.
Yeah, I think Sermon really pushes this offense over the edge because like you take him out of the equation, you're just like, oh, we just have Master Teague, Steel Chambers. Like, yeah, those are great, but when you add that second running back that can really like add to that offense, it makes defenses think. So I think he's a great addition, and I can't wait for him.
All right, very good.
And he's pretty good. He can catch out of the backfield too, right? Yeah,
he caught a pass from Baker in the horseshoe.
That's right.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's move on now to wide receivers again. Yeah. Like seriously, this might be our
embarrassment of riches here.
This could be our most talented group, you know. With you got Olave, Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson's going to the slot. And then you're just loaded with freshmen, incoming true freshmen that are Fleming, Scott. How do you even say Smith
and Jackson Njigba? Smith and Njigba. Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, they are just absolutely loaded. These guys can fly. They have speed. They have height. So, I mean, we possibly have 6 or 7 NFL receivers on our roster right now. Right. So we know what Olave is going to give us. And Garrett Wilson, you see in big moments what he can do. So what do you guys think about some of the other guys, maybe not highly as touted?
Yeah, I think it's pick your poison, really. I think any of these guys could beat you off the ball in their own ways. And Julian Fleming, I'm really excited for. I think he's going to be really good for us. G. Scott Jr., I think he's going to be really good as well. You see his clips all over Twitter all the time. Like, he is just embarrassing dudes in scrimmages and 7-on-7s. Obviously, it's not the game situation, but I think he's going to have a lot of highlights in him.
Greg?
I don't know a lot about these guys, but I always say the first Ohio State game every year is Christmas morning, because it's just like, you don't know what presents are under the tree, but you know they're going to be good. Right. And it's just watching these guys, and we're going to spend this whole game being like, oh, who's this guy? Like, and you get to know these guys and you get to really see them. And these are the guys then, you know, for the next 3-4 years, we'll know. It's always incredibly exciting. And I feel like this receiving core, there's going to be one or two guys at least Saturday that are going to turn some heads. And it'll be interesting to see who it is. Sometimes it's not who you think, right? It's who gets the opportunity, who makes the play at the right time. But I'm just excited to see. I'm excited to see who emerges.
The interesting thing about this group is, think about who was on the field last year. We're kind of trading experience for potential this year. I mean, we had Benjamin Victor, Austin Mack. Help me if I'm missing a few names here.
KJ Hill.
KJ Hill, yeah. I mean, these are all veteran guys that have been around. And, I mean, obviously we all know Olave and Garrett Wilson burst onto the scene, but as you mentioned, he'll be playing in the slot, a different position. I mean, then the freshman. The one that I keep hearing that is just dominating them all is Jackson Smith Ajigba. That is the one that, from what I've heard, is looking the best. I expect big things from him and G. Scott. Julian Fleming was the most highly ranked, but it seems like his route running is a little behind the others at this point. But, I mean, there's 6-7 guys here that can take the top off of defense at any point. So there's going to be no problems with that unit.
All right, very good. Good stuff, guys. All right, let's move on to the tight end position. We got Luke Farrell, Jeremy Ruckert. Luke Farrell's, I hate to call him more of a blocking tight end, but Jeremy Ruckert's more of the receiving tight end. Mm-hmm. And but these guys get pretty equal playing time from what the stats show. I think Ruckert's probably more of your, you know, impact and guy you're going to see, you know, on the highlight reels and stuff like that. But you know, again, a pretty solid group. Both guys probably have NFL potential. I mean, Ruckert for sure does. But Farrell can, you know, find his way onto an NFL roster as well.
Yeah. So I've everything again. Ryan Day, I think, really wants to use tight ends this year. I think Ruckert's a pretty big weapon, and they realize that they got to start using him in the passing game a little bit. But Farrell, I mean, Farrell's been. They use him as a sixth lineman all the time. So, I mean, you see it on the depth chart, senior, junior, senior, another group loaded with experience. There should be no issues there. I'm pretty excited to see how they use Ruckert.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another thing for a defense to think about when you have three guys on the field, like Mark said, or you have three guys in your depth chart that can all really just make a big play out of nowhere. It's something that the defenses are going to have to think about and work with. So, I'm just excited to see Jeremy Ruckert. He makes a couple big plays like he did in the Big Ten Championship. So I think he'll be really good.
Yeah, I just imagine being an opposing defensive coordinator and you're trying to figure out how to stop these backs, how to stop these receivers. And then all of a sudden you get burned over the middle with a tight end. And you're just like, you know, at that point, you just sort of shrug your shoulders and toss your play sheet. And you just say, look, it's going to be a long day. So, you know, I love when the tight end gets involved. It just seems like it kind of opens everything up, and it's always kind of like a double take when it happens because we have so many weapons around, you know, at the wide receiver and running back position. But yeah, I mean, you got talent, utilize them. Looking, you know, I think, you know, I hope we use the tight ends a little bit more this year, and I think we will.
All right. This is probably the most important group on the field, but, you know, they don't get quite the hype, you know, as the skill positions. It's not a, you know, playing offensive line isn't the sexiest thing, but you know, we have some dynamic players on the offensive line. I'm just going to go over, you know, the starters here. You guys just, if you have any additional comments, you know, feel free to jump in. But left tackle, you got Thayer Mumford. Left guard, you got Harry Miller. Center, Josh Myers, Wyatt Davis, who obviously declared for the draft, probably a first rounder, but came back. And then help me if I watch this name, but Nicholas Petit-Friere, also on the right tackle. So, and I believe he was one of the most highly touted guys coming in a few years ago. And then right behind him, you got Paris Johnson, who is probably one of the highest touted guys Ohio State's had. So, you know, what do you guys think about the offensive line, or did I miss anybody that we should be looking at?
This is a group. We talked about the running backs and obviously Fields, but this is the group I might be most excited for. I mean, you got three returning starters. They could all be top day one or day two picks in the NFL draft. Mumford's dealt with a back and ankle the last couple of years, but they're saying best shape of his life. Harry Miller was another one, just like Ferrer, who is top 50 overall guy coming out of high school out of Georgia. Josh Myers, we know him. We know Wyatt Davis. But Nicholas Petit-Friere, that's the big question mark. And if he lives up to his ranking, this line has no holes. I think we will see Paris Johnson, though. I think they want to get him reps, and I think you will see DeJuan Jones, big DeJuan Jones, who we saw a little bit last year, get in at guard a little bit. But, yeah, like I said, this is the group that I think could absolutely control a game and dominate the ball.
Good. Greg or Bill, any other thoughts on O-line?
I'm just excited that Wyatt Davis came back. That was a huge, huge thing for us. Other than that, like Mark said, I think they're going to dominate all game, and they really can dictate how the game's going to go.
Very good. Greg?
Yeah, nothing really further. I think it'll be exciting. It'll be interesting. You know, you like continuity on your offensive line, but we have so much talent on the offensive line that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they mix in some of these other non-starters. I think they just announced, really, yesterday they announced the starter. So it was a close race, I think, all the way up through camp. So that tells me a lot of other guys are going to get to play too.
Yeah, and absolutely. It's one of those situations too where if a guy goes down, you know, hopefully not, but if a guy goes down, you got somebody right behind him to step in and you're not going to miss the beat.
And it's just everybody's hungry. I mean, this is the Urban Meyer influence. This is how the game was changed when Urban came to town. There's so much competition within that team in camp, and these guys just getting after each other every single day. And there's so much depth and so much talent, and everybody's competing for that job. And it's just raised the bar on, you know, across the board. And the coaches, you know, the accountability that the coaches have, all this talent, they got to deliver. There's no excuses.
Yeah. And, you know, I recently read a story too on, you know, going to the coaches on some of their salaries. You know, Ohio State has one of the highest paid, not just obviously head coaches. Ryan Day isn't quite up there with the big boys in the big thing right now, but he'll get there. but I think we have 7 or 8 guys that are around $1 million mark or more. And, you know, our coaching staff is loaded.
And let me just add, I mean, I think this is a big year for Coach Greg Stajwara. He's kind of gotten some heat with his pass blocking and his recruiting. But, I mean, this is by far his best unit. But this is a big year for him because I know for a fact that Ryan Day's had the talk with him, that he's kind of got to kick it in gear a little bit. But, I mean, just kind of talking about this line as we wrap it up with the line here, you know, like under Tressel, I mean, you'd have 5 guys that were all from, seemed like Columbus or Northeast Ohio, right? So you got Pratit Ferreira down in Florida. You got Harry Miller from Georgia and Wyatt Davis out in California. Just pretty cool to watch, you know, the evolution of Ohio State recruiting on the team now compared to the Tressel years.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so let's switch to the defensive side of the ball. You know, Bill, you mentioned we got our guy Combs back, which is awesome. I think he was with the Titans the last couple of years, but, you know, we got him back. He's going to take over as, I believe, the main defensive coordinator. But, you know, with him, you got Larry Johnson, Greg Madison, obviously coach of the team up north. You got Al Washington, some other solid coaches. So let's start. So we just talked about the O-line, and guys, we're going to cut this to about 10 minutes. So, so I kind of want to go through this kind of quickly on the defensive end, but, just real quick, your thoughts on the defensive line.
Big shoes to fill. I mean, Chase Young leaves before Chase Young, the Bosa's. I mean, who's next? That's really the question you have to ask. Like, which one of these guys is going to emerge as the next day one top 10 draft pick? And I don't know who it is yet. I don't know if one of them is Jonathan Cooper. I don't know, but I'm excited to see what they do. I think people are going to be surprised with this defense.
Yeah, very good. I think this is the most unknown unit we have. You know, you got, obviously you said Cooper, you got Tyler Friday in there who I think can play inside and outside. Yep. You know, Zach Harrison, Tyreek Smith. So there's a lot of guys again there that are going to play, but you know, who's going to step up, like you were saying, in those roles, Mark or Greg, what do you guys think?
Yeah, Mark, I'll defer to you on this one.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, Larry Johnson said a couple weeks ago they got 5 defensive ends that can start anywhere in the country. I don't think any of them are on Chase Lovell's talent level. up to Chase Young's standard, but if you're looking for the next guy that would be top 10, I think Zach Harrison is definitely the one who's got that potential. And for my money, I think the most important guy on the defense, which may surprise you a little bit, is Tommy Togiai. Ryan Day's kind of expressed some concerns about the interior defensive line. And for me, that's the biggest question mark. I know a lot of people got question marks about the secondary and replacing Fuller and Arnett and Okuda, but for me, it's interior D-line. I mean, Togiai, he's had some experience, but outside of that, looking at Antoine Jackson, Teron Vincent went down with another shoulder injury, which is a real shame because you're really counting on him. But, I mean, they'll figure it out. They seem to always do. But for me, that is the biggest question mark. And like I said, Togiai is the most important player to me on the whole team.
Okay. All right. Let's move.
Any of these young, you like any of these really young, we got a lot of freshmen, sophomore, backups on the D line. Who would be one, who'd be a guy that Bill and Mark, you guys are looking at as somebody that could emerge?
Yeah. So Hamilton's the one for me. He was definitely the lowest ranked coming in, but he was the first one to lose his black stripe in practice, and rave reviews from the coaches so far. We just lost his brother Devon to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the third round. So I look for Hamilton to kind of be that guy if there is one.
Okay. Very good. All right, let's switch to the linebacking position. we have, Ohio State traditionally does the 4-3 technique, but you're going to see some of these guys play, but the way college football is now, a lot of times you're playing 5 DBs. So most of the time, there's only two of these guys are going to be on the field. But we got Baron Browning, Justin Hilliard, Tough Borland. Tough Borland's probably your middle linebacker, I would assume. Taraje Mitchell might push him a little bit coming up as a junior. And then Pete Werner, who to me was kind of one of our a guy that other defense or other offenses would target a little bit in my opinion. But he did step up a lot and played well towards the end of the season, but I think he's a guy that kind of gives me makes me a little bit nervous when he's guarding, when he's covering some of the backs out of the backfield or something like that. So what do you guys think about the line? Oh, and I believe Dallas Gant is a guy to keep an eye out for. He's a name I keep hearing about. What do you guys think about the linebacking core?
Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I think, names we know, seniors, I think, there's a lot of youth on this team, but it's nice to have, especially at a linebacker position, like a good group of experienced, pretty sure tackling guys that have been here, especially when you kind of look at a young D line and a kind of a younger, maybe more inexperienced secondary. So I think there's going to be stability in the linebacking position and experience and leadership, which is going to be what we need. But as far as execution, I guess that remains to be seen, but I like this unit a lot.
I agree.
I don't got a whole lot to add other than, we saw last year the new scheme, how Washington was able to kind of open it up for these guys and just less thinking under Greg Schiano and just more see ball, get ball. So I think we're going to see a lot of that. I mean, we see the experience on paper, so we should be ready to go there.
Right. Yeah, experience is that's key. It's good to have that in the linebacker, especially that leadership. But, yeah, they covered it.
Especially in a crazy year like this year. All right, and let's move back. Final position spot, let's talk about the DB. So obviously we got Sean Wade as our main, main corner, but he, in the past he's covered a lot of slot receivers where now he's expected to be the main guy stepping in for Okuda. So we got him. I believe Seven Banks is going to be across from him as the other corner. Marcus Williamson might step in, and then Ohio State likes to play like a one deep safety, I believe they call it a one high, or sometimes you might even hear the coaches refer to him as an eraser. But Marcus Hooker looks to be that guy, former brother of Malik Hooker, right not too far from Youngstown in Newcastle, right down the road. So you guys, thoughts on the DBs?
Nope. Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do. I'm excited to see Sean Wade be the main guy. I mean, last year he's got Damon Arnette and he's got Jeff Okuda there to kind of be with them and bail him out in certain situations. But this year I'm really excited to see what Sean Wade can do in terms of a leader. Seven Banks, I'm excited to see. Marcus Hooker, I think he'll be good. Again, we see him play a couple times and he was kind of shaky, but hopefully he knows how to turn around this year. I'm sure that one of these DBs I'll be very mad at in the first couple weeks, and then they'll turn it around by the end of the year.
This always, you know, the secondary always seems to be, in corner probably specifically, is the position where I feel like you see the most improvement, like the most visible improvement in those guys year to year, or even beginning of the season to the end of the season. And I think there's a DBU mentality here, and it's kind of passed the baton. So, you know, it seems like every year our top corners have been, you know, elite and probably better than we could have expected. So I think hopefully Sean Wade takes that baton and becomes the next great Ohio State cornerback.
Yeah, I don't got too much to add other than, you know, everybody's talking about Seven Banks opposite Sean Wade. I got my eye on Cam Brown. I think he's had a really strong camp. We're going to see what rotation Combs has in mind, but you won't find a bigger fan of Jeff Hafley than me. So I'm just hoping that they continue to play the way that they played last year, because he worked wonders on Damon Arnette, as we can all agree to, I'm sure.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead. We got about less than a minute on this recording, so I ran a little bit longer than I wanted to. But let's go ahead real quick. Just Ohio State. People are betting it like it's free money. I think the line
is
26 right now. So I'm gonna just throw out my final score: 45-17 Ohio State, and they cover.
Oof.
Billy, what you got?
I don't got a final score, but I know they're cover, and they've won the last five in their meetings by an average of 35.5. So I'll take that every day. Terrible. Yeah, come with the stats. I think team total is 45.5. I take the over on that every day.
I don't got a score either, but I think they'll cover pretty easily.
Okay. And Greg?
I think we'll cover the full game spread at half, but then I feel like it might be a sweat later on in the game with just, you know, if we get some backups in and things like that. But I think ultimately, you know, 28 to 35 point margin sounds about right. But I think we're going to come out. I think it's, you know, 21-0 possibly at the end of the first quarter type game. I think we're come out ready to go.
I'm going to bring you guys back here in a minute, and we're going to pick five NFL games for this weekend. So I'm gonna bring you up on another Zoom call, and we'll be right back.
Cool. All right.
All right.
We'll have them all on YSN. DJ, myself, and Brian Scott appreciate you allowing us each week to promote YSN and talk these games with you. I enjoy it. But that's the schedule. We look forward to a great weekend and hopefully some big matchups next week.
Absolutely. Well, again, we thank you so much for taking time out of your day coming on. All right. Hey, everybody. This is Justin Coffin from the 330 Sports Show. Joining me again is Steve Leslie from YSN, and he is going to preview this weekend's high school football slate. So, Steve, welcome back. Thanks again for coming on.
Oh, once again, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. I had a lot of fun talking with you last week. And like I've said, you guys do a great, great job with your show. I enjoy listening to it. So keep doing what you guys do. And on behalf of YSN and DJ and Brian Scott, you know, thanks for getting YSN out there to all your fans too. We appreciate it. But just week three of the playoffs, it's hard to believe that we sit here and say that. And you look at some of the things now, you start to lose some teams. And the first thing I'll say is now in this playoff format, you get into a situation now in the past, this is the way the playoffs have been. Eight teams now left in each region. So these teams that are in now are those teams that in a normal playoff setup, these would be the situations. So okay. A lot of quality games. I'll go over all of them real quick. A couple local matchups, which at YSN we're proud of, but should be a great week of high school football. And like I said, you can watch them on ysnlive.com. $9.99 will get you that package for the weekend. I'm sorry. And and fans will be able to enjoy all 10 playoff games. And without their support, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So we appreciate that. But Friday night, the biggest game on the board, Warren Harding and Austin Town Fitch. I'm going to tell you what, Just, this is one of those games that in a normal situation with fans, you would probably not be able to get into Austin Town Stadium.
Yeah.
But with limited tickets, we're proud we'll be able to have this game. But Austin Town Fitch is undefeated. Warren Harding is 5-3, but has played an awesome schedule. They played earlier in the year. Fitch won that football game 25-21. But when you talk about some of the players from both teams, Devin Sherwood, the quarterback of Austin Town, has had a phenomenal season. You know, as a junior, he leads that football team very well. Todd Simons is a big target as wide receiver. Did not play last week. Justin was a little nicked up, but we'll be back in action. So that's a key piece for the Falcons to have him back. And defensively, they're led by so many. But I love watching Nate Leskovac play. He had 8 tackles last week, 6 solos. So those are the 3 guys for Fitch. For Warren Harding, another great quarterback. Harding always has skill, athletic people, and the quarterback, Elijah Taylor, is definitely that guy. And he will be looking to get the football to Chester Adams, their receiver. So a rivalry that's been for years between these schools. Coach Arnold does a great job. Coach Parker has been awesome getting this football team back out on the map. The community in Austin Town is excited. And, you know, in my opinion, that's the topic game of the night. So I started with that one.
Absolutely.
So games Friday night, Akron St. Vincent St. Mary's, another local powerhouse. They're 5-2. They'll head to Canfield High School. The Cardinals are still flying high, 7-0. And we talked last week, Justin. That's the thing that impresses me about Canfield. That high seed gets them the home games. So yeah, if they can continue to win, they kind of stay at home. They play outstanding defense. They do a great job. Chris Samarone in the middle. They have some great linebackers that have been back all year for them. But they're led in the backfield by Samarone for sure. Sophomore Brock Lowry has been phenomenal. He's had some big games. He's a sophomore quarterback. And Ethan Fletcher, the starting quarterback, has kind of shifted to a receiver and has been a big, big addition for Coach Pav in that situation. So Canfield High School is playing very well. There's no doubt, in my opinion, that this St. V's team plays a great schedule. So this will be a great football game and another one that we're proud to have Canfield as part of YSN, and another game we're proud of in the network. Two more on Friday night. McDonald, 6-1, is that playoff team you talk about every year. Dom Shadle is one of the best running backs in the area. They will travel to Latonia. Latonia is 6-1, so it's a battle of 6-1s, Justin. And last week, Latonia wins their first playoff home game in the school's history.
Oh, wow. So
that is pretty exciting for that community. Marco Ferry is their top running back. So this game to me is which offensive line can get one of these two stud backs, Shadle or Marco Ferry, some open space. I expect it to be a pretty defensive oriented game. A lot of running the football. Latonia at home again against a McDonald team that's been a part of the playoffs all year. As I look at this game, Justin, probably the best opponent, Latonia, one of the best opponents they will play. From a playoff standpoint, with all the experience that Coach Williams has at McDonald, they will invade Latonia. But I know the Latonia community and Coach Julia is excited about another playoff opportunity against a very good team. That will be an outstanding football game also Friday night. We look forward to having that one. And the last one on Friday night, JFK will be at home. They're 5-2. Against Norwalk St. Paul, 6-1, two talented football teams. But JFK is that team that we talked about last week. Cam Holabaugh, Justin, had 8 touchdowns last week. I talked with Coach Perlogo. He is the it guy for that football team. They follow his lead. He's a leader. He's a great athlete. He, in my opinion, is someone that is going to be getting recruited. He's a great baseball player and doing a great job in football. But 8 touchdowns last week. As a senior, that's a season to remember. JFK plays a great schedule. I expect them to take care of business against Norwalk. And again, they're that number one seed that continues to stay at home. So I think this is a team that we talked about, a Canfield, a Fitch. Those are teams that I feel that can continue on and hopefully get a state championship for us to continue to talk about. So those are Friday night's games. There's some good ones. Like I said, you can catch them on YSNLive.com. $9.99 will get you all the games Friday night and Saturday night. And we go from there. We're excited about Friday night, but Saturday night, the pace picks up a little bit. Six games. The first one, Poland, you want to talk about a football team. They were down 21-0 against Salem last week. They will play Chagrin Falls, who did not have to play last week because the team they were supposed to play had some COVID issues and they advanced on. So they've had a bye week, and I think that that can hurt Chagrin Falls now that Poland's played. Poland just does it all. They play good defense. They have a great offensive line. Senafani's a great player. Fulton at quarterback. But I go to them, and I watched last week at the studio. They were down 21-0, and I'm big on looking at how players react to things and their manner. I did not see any change in that football team down 21-0. That's a credit to Coach Williams, their staff, and their kids. There was no panic, and they continued to claw back. They got it to 21-6. At half, they were on the one-yard line on a close play, didn't get that touchdown, and was able to shut out Salem in the second half and win that football game by three. So those type of teams, when you want to win a state championship, you're going to have a close game. That was definitely one of those. But Coach Williams and Chagrin Falls, I think they will be in good shape this week to get a W. Next game, this is the best game, Justin, in my opinion, on the board. West Branch will be at home. They're 7-0. Brock Heiler is the quarterback. He's one of those Cam Hollaball guys, can do it all. He can run the ball. He can pass the ball. West Branch is a football team that won two games last year. They have the home field advantage, and they will host Youngstown Urson, who's 5-2. And in my opinion here, West Branch, probably one of the bigger home playoff games they've had in their school's history. Urson, Coach Bearden, very talented, very good quarterback. Brady Shannon's talented. Coach Reardon's son, Matt, at the receiver position. McElroy at running back. From a West Branch standpoint, will probably be the most skilled team that they've played all year. And from Ursuline, the quarterback, Heiler, is going to give this team fits throwing the football. So this is that game where I think you're going to see a lot of points. I think both teams will move the ball. This is a game there. The defenses that can get a couple turnovers, get a few stops, wins a football game. And the winner of that game, if Poland would win, Justin, would play in that semifinal next week. So we hopefully, if Poland wins, we would have an all YSN matchup in this region. So we're excited about that. The next game on the board, Beachwood, is 6-0. They will head to South Range, and there's a team, Coach Yeagley. They just continue to go on a roll. They rolled again last week. Michael Patron, the quarterback, had another big game. Dominguez at running back, solid. That's that 1-2 punch we talk about. Jake Gehring, the tight end and defensive end, does a great job. Their defense, Justin, gets better every week. This is a game where I expect them to roll. I really do. I think they're the type of football team that will do great things and continue on next week into that game. So, and the winner of this game will play the winner of this next game for us. You have Crestview at 5-1, going to go to Garrettsville Garfield, who's 7-0. Crestview lost in week one. They've played phenomenal football. Last week, their playoff game, and I thought was the best game they've played all year. Cusick at quarterback. Coach Cusick's son had a phenomenal game. Very skilled, very fast, and defensively, they continue to improve. So they're going to have their hands full. Garrett Garfield beat Cardinal Mooney at home. We talked about that last week. I think it's a situation where that was probably Garrettsville Garfield's biggest home playoff game. This one will be right up there. They got a lot of support at this game. They're talented, very good quarterback. They run the wing tee. Off of that, they hit Mooney with some big passes. So this game, I think if Crestview can limit the big plays against Garfield, I feel like they have an opportunity to win that football game. And like I said, if Crestview could win and South Range wins, that would set up a Crestview-South Range matchup the following week, and it would be another local YSN matchup. So on our end of it, we'd like to see both of our local teams there. The last two good ones, St. Thomas Aquinas is 5-2. They play a very good schedule. It's one of those Catholic schools that play a quality schedule every year, and they get to head on down to Springfield and Coach Guerrero, and they just continue to put up points quickly. They could drive the ball with their running back slowly if they have to. Defensively, they continue to prove. This is a game where I think that they get after it and get another win, and it's that home team that can continue on, and they will stay at home for the whole way. The state of Ohio came out just last week that the regional final games now, the higher seed will get the home game. So if you're Springfield, they could stay at home the whole way for the state semis. Austintown Fitch is in that situation. They're a two seed, so they would get all the way out to that regional final. Poland's the same way. So I think that's a great thing because it promotes what you do in the regular season. Those games were important. Okay. LeBray and Brookfield played last week. They played in week two. Brookfield won that game 35-7. They played last week, and LeBray wins 55-54. Brookfield goes for two to win the ball game, and LeBray gets a stop. But in that game, Devin Carter is a standout running back for LeBray. He's the all-time leading rusher in LeBray history, so they have that going for him. Aiden Stevens is their quarterback, who's been phenomenal moving the football team. And Trevon Drake is one of their skilled guys. He ran two kickoff returns for touchdowns and caught a touchdown pass. So they have three very skilled players. Wycliffe is very good. They're familiar with one another. This could be one of those 55-54 games. I talked with Coach Armini. But another game that we're proud to have on YSN, and will be a good one. So that is our schedule for the week. We look forward to all these games. We'll have them all on YSN. DJ, myself, and Brian Scott appreciate you allowing us each week to promote YSN and talk these games with you. I enjoy it. But that's the schedule. We look forward to a great weekend and hopefully some big matchups next week.
Absolutely. Well, again, we thank you so much for taking time out of your day, coming on. And, you know, you can also check out you and Mike Ackleson and Nick Zaronis, correct, on the – are you still doing the Red Zone?
Yeah, we will still –
All right, we are back, and we are now going to pick some of the NFL games this weekend. We have a slate of five games we're going to go through. So the first game we are going to pick is going to be the Steelers and the Titans. So both undefeated teams. Steelers' first road game in a while, but Tennessee is a one-point favorite at home. I'm going to go with the Titans to win this battle of the undefeateds. So I'm going to go Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, as much as it pains me. Tennessee just lost Taylor Lewan, their star left tackle, and defense has got a lot of holes for me to pick them. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh too. I think as long as Chase Claypool keeps catching passes, and that defense was about as good as I've seen it in the past decade. So it's so hard to bet against them, but I'll go with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm also going to go with Pittsburgh. You know, I think they'll do enough to slow Derrick Henry down, as you saw last week with the, you know, against the Browns rushing attack, although we were a man short. But they're just elite on defense, and I don't think Henry's not going to, you know, he'll get his yards, but I don't think he's going to have a huge day. And, you know, that'll play right into their into their pockets. Make Tannehill try to beat them, and I think the Steelers win the game.
All right, we're going to go to the game, which is going to air on Thursday night, Giants at Eagles. The Eagles are a 4.5-point favorite. I just think the Giants are freaking terrible. I don't really have a reason to pick the Eagles. You know, they did compete pretty well against Baltimore last week, but Eagles are 4.5-point favorites. So I'm going to take the Eagles at home on a Thursday night on a short week.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, this division is an absolute joke. The fact that one of them is going to make the playoffs is going to make the NFL reevaluate their roles. I'll go Philly.
Yeah, I mean, like Mark said, this division is so terrible. But everything I think that you should pick the Eagles, and for that, I'm going to pick the Giants. And plus, every time I bet on the Eagles, they never cover. So I'm going to do you guys a favor and take the Giants.
All right.
Yeah, that might not be a bad pick. I'm gonna go with the Eagles, though. I think, you know, not only did they compete last week, they also competed pretty well against the Steelers, too. I don't know how they do it. They're decimated with injuries. I actually really like Doug Peterson as a coach. I think they're always ready to play. Wentz gets a bad rap. He's a grinder. He's tough. They should go out and win handily tomorrow. We'll see.
All right. We have next up a matchup of John Gruden versus John Gruden's current team versus his former team, the Raiders. And I believe Tampa Bay is in Vegas this weekend. So Tampa Bay -3.5 points at Vegas. I think Tampa Bay figured out what was wrong last weekend against Green Bay. And I think they're going to carry that momentum over. And I don't think they're going to win by a lot, but I think they're going to win by 4 or more. And beat Vegas. So I'm going Tampa.
Yeah, I'm with you here. Kind of reluctantly taking Tampa. You know, the last time we saw Oakland, they went Kansas City and won. So definitely a dangerous team, but they just placed their whole offensive line on the COVID list. So who knows who's going to be available. So I'll go Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tampa Bay too. You don't make money betting against Tom Brady, at least for long. So
yeah. I'll make it a clean sweep, Tampa. I'm tempted. Gruden coming off a bye. I actually wasn't aware of the Raiders line. That would be brutal because they're going to rely on Josh Jacobs pretty heavily in that game. But I'm going to say Tampa's kind of turned a corner. They figured something out last week, and maybe they're ready to go on a little run here.
Gruden's going to take a recording of this and show it in the locker room.
This bulletin board material right here.
All right, next up we have New England San Francisco at New England this weekend. New England is a 2-point favorite, but I'm sort of taking San Francisco for the same reason I took Tampa Bay. San Francisco looked like they, you know, felt like last week was like a must-win game for them. Both these teams are kind of down from last year, but I just don't think New England has the horses to do it this year. So I'm going the 49ers +2.
Yeah, I'm going to go New England. I hate taking all these favorites, but there's something's off about Jimmy G, and I know San Fran's still banged up. I'm kind of going to chalk up New England's struggles last week to the lack of practice in the last 2 weeks that they had with their COVID protocols. So I'm going to take New England.
Yeah, I'm going with New England too. Like Mark said, the lack of practices, I think you could count that loss. And just like, I don't see the Patriots losing 2 games in a row at home. I mean, especially under Bill Belichick. So I think you got to go with New England.
Greg?
This is your classic Belichick, like count us out and we end up winning the game. But I'm still going to take the Niners, but I know I'm probably going to regret it. I do think they're just a more talented team. I think there is a real talent issue in New England. So, I'm going to go with the Niners.
All right. And then the final game, probably closest to our hearts, definitely Battle of the Buckeye State. You know, Browns obviously coming off a terrible loss to the Steelers. Bengals have obviously struggled this year. Joe Burrow has shown some nice, you know, some nice things. But I feel like this game for the Browns reminds me a little bit of week 2, where it felt a little bit like a must win. You know, the Browns win this game, they go to 5-2. Everything feels like right in the world again. where if they lose this game and drop to 4-3 and they lose to the Bengals, it really feels like the sky might be falling. And you know, I know the Baker haters have been out this week.
One of them right here.
I'm a defender of Mayfield in the sense of, you know, and maybe I'm making excuses for him, you know, shortened off season, you know, new coach, you know, what, fourth coach in 3 years and all right. This and that. But he looked like he was scared, frankly, last week, and he did not look good. Hopefully he can rebound against you're playing one of the, again, like Greg said, one of the elite defenses in the league against the Steelers. Now you're turning the coin, and hopefully, they can do some stuff against the Bengals. So I'm going to take the Browns. They are -3 on the day. So, Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, so this line kind of doesn't make a lot of sense to me, which makes you kind of second guess it. But, I mean, I'm going to take the Browns too. Should be able to run the ball, which is their strength, and use the play action, get bigger out on the edges. They lose this game and all bets are off. They got to win this game. So for that, I'll say 34-20 Browns.
All right.
So I like the Browns too. I think it's Baker's bounce back game to get back in the hearts of all the haters, just disappoint them later down the road in the season. So I think he brings them up for this game. They win, they cover, but then don't be surprised in 3 games if all the Baker haters are back out in the streets.
Fair.
You know, I mean, good football teams don't get beat twice by the same team. And effectively, if we lose this game Sunday, I think it's basically the Steelers beating us twice. It's just the hangover of that game. I think there's a lot of focus. I mean, if I was Stefanski and the coaching staff this week, I mean, I think, you know, you certainly put the game film in and you look at the things you got to work on, but this is one of those game films you kind of think about probably throwing in the trash by Tuesday. Right. And you just say, look, it was just a tough game. It was just a brutal game from the start. You throw a pick six, your first possession. It laid an egg. It was a stinker. You got to bounce back, and it's got to be this whole week of preparation is about bouncing back and not getting beat again by this game. You got to let go of the last game. So I'm going to go on the hope that we're going to be able to do that. If we don't do that, like these guys said, shit, we could be looking at 7-9. But, you know, if we do get back on track, 5-2, we'll be on top of the world again next week feeling really good. So big game, not going to be easy, but I think we'll get it done, and I'll take the Browns -3.
Yeah, so just, you know, as Browns fans, we're not used to winning. So I think this is it's kind of nice to be complaining a little bit about their performance at 4-2, whereas usually, you know, we're 1-5 or whatever at this point. So, you know, hopefully that shows the trend is turning a little bit. But yeah, hopefully, like you said, good teams show consistency. And, you know, we obviously have that in Ohio State, you know, at the college level. Let's hopefully we can build that up in Cleveland at the pro level. So any other final thoughts? I'm going to throw this one out as a final thought. Weekend, I'm going to put Penn State on upset alert at Indiana this weekend. So any other random thoughts you guys have for the weekend?
Anybody want to take Clemson -30 first half against Syracuse? It's on the table, or -46 for the game.
Is it really -30 first half?
Yes.
There is no number you can give me that would make me want to fade that.
I took Syracuse last year and I regret it.
I just got two teams that I think I don't know how you lay 10.5 with Notre Dame going to Pitt.
Yes.
It always seems to play well at home. And if you watched a second of Notre Dame last week, you wanted to throw up.
Or any week. Like,
yeah. Ugh. And I just got one more. Baylor's had a little bit of struggles this year with COVID, and they even look great on the field, but if you're laying 9 points with Texas, I wish you luck.
Yeah.
What do you guys think on Michigan, Minnesota?
You know, my buddy who goes to Michigan just sent me that two of Minnesota's offensive tackles are probably out, so might be a big deal. I mean, they're talking up this Joe Milton like he's Pat Mahomes, yeah. So let's see it.
I think
is that line that I see it right? Is Minnesota favored?
That line's totally flipped. It started like that, and now Michigan's -3.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's going to be an upset in the Big Ten, and I think everybody's so focused on that game. I think Justin's pick just might come to fruition where Indiana comes victorious against Penn State.
I like that.
Maybe Penn
as well.
State looking ahead too till next week a little.
I agree.
You know, I'd say Indiana's going to cover in that game, but you know, who knows? Maybe I'm looking at it next week and Penn State wins by 25, but that's my pick. So
yeah, I mean, I think certainly what we've seen is you don't know what to expect coming off, you know, coming out, especially in these first games. Yeah, right. I mean, Mississippi State looked like the, you know, a national championship contender, and look at them. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to get. So, and that even goes for the Buckeyes. I mean, I think we'll be all right, but you just don't know. Right. You don't know until you see it.
Yeah. Hopefully, going back to the Buckeyes, we got a focus squad, and we're good to go for the season. And you know, they're just, you know, take it week by week, and everybody stays healthy, and you know, that's the best we can hope for, because I think if they stay healthy, we're loaded. So I'm going to wrap it up with that, but I just want to thank these guys for coming on. Appreciate you guys, your expertise, your knowledge. You know, I gave a little bit of backstory.
Your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.